point. It has to do with what I said. All right? The point I want to make is that in the Torah, you have these cases where you have a general statement, a specific statement, and then once again, you have a general statement. You know what I want to do? I want to put on my headset. Hold on a second. It'll be easier on my... So, the point's like this, that when you have in the Torah a general statement, and then a specific, and then a general, so the question is how to deal with that. Now, you can't say that sometimes you deal with it one way and another time you deal with it another way. That makes no sense. Because the question is, what is the intent of the Torah when it writes such a thing like that? See, you can't go ahead and start looking at results and conclusions. That would not be legitimate. So you have to say that there's a certain way that the Torah writes, and it can either be ribui mia ribui, or klal prado klal. It's one of two possibilities. So either you're going to tell me that the way to be Dorish the Torah is one way, or the way to be Dorish the Torah is the other way. Now it's true, I am not attempting to explain how that came about. Like, what is the genesis of that machlokas? I mean, all I'll be able to do is to show you the logic internally of klal prado klal, and then show you what happens in a ribui mi at ribui. But it's true, I don't know how to define, there's why are there these two possibilities in the Masorah? And by the way, it has to be possibilities in the Masorah. Because that's the question. It's a basic question. What is the Torah's, what is its format when it does such a thing like this? When it has a general, specific general. And you see that the Tanoim themselves, I mean, you talk about Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Shmuel, you see each one had his shita because that's his Rebbe's shita. So it at least would appear to me that they themselves were not embracing something out of their own, misvara asayim. You know what I mean? It wasn't like a svara they're saying, but that's the masora. That's the point I want to make. I mean, but it makes, in other words, I'm just explaining, you can't tell me in Shmos you'll go ribui, 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 mi, ribui. And then over here in Vayikra you'll say, no, I want to do klal, prada, klal. It doesn't work like that. It's one or the other. It can't be both. And there's no doubt that that's exactly why the Braisa that we choose to say in the morning, for whatever reasons, is Rabbi Shmuel Omer. And that's why it has klal, prada, klal. Rabbi Akiva would not have klal, prada, klal. It is Mido Shatar Nidreshus Ben. Not possible. He would have Ribui Miyat Ribui. But that's it. There's only one of two possibilities how to explain such a structure like that when you find it in the Torah. That's the point I want to say. System of Drasha. It can't just switch willy-nilly. It's got to have a system there. It has to have rules. That's drasha. Because drasha is not based on just mere logic. You know what I mean? It's not like I say, well, I like that. So if I'm going to do that. It's not true. It works differently, a drasha. Even kalvachomers work differently. Kalvachomers aren't kol shekeins. You know what I mean? They have their own mode of operation. I mean, anyone who studies kalvachomers, like there are a lot of kalvachomers in Maseches Kedushin in the first parak. They have their own method how they proceed. And you have to latch on to what those premises are and then how to proceed in the Kal V'chomer. It's not just like a pure, we call a Kol Shekein argument, just a pure logical argument. You know this, and therefore you know this. It's not true. It doesn't work that way. So anyhow, okay. So that's one point. But let's get back now into the thick of the Gemara itself. All right. Perish on the Gemara we just did on Chaf Vav Amud Aleph. So Rashi says the Darish Ribu Yamiuti. Okay. All right. That Rabbi Akiva is Darish Ribuye Umiuti. So Rashi says Midrasha the Ribuye Umiute Nafkale Bepar Gimel. Shaloya Dorish is a Torah Bimashmos Klolos Pratos. Ella Bimashmos Ribuyin Umiutin. The Gabi Shvuis Hachi Dorish. Nefesh Kisi Shava Riba Kala Shvuas. Lehara Olehativ. Miyed esaribui v'limeid she'eno chayev ela al hadoma l'miyit she'yehei l'haba kemoso. So Rashi says, how does it work? So in ribui miyit, the ribui, the first ribui says kol ha'shuas, right? Introduces the category. So it's all the shuas. Then you have a miyit. And the miyat comes to limit the ribui. And it tells you that you're not chayev except for those things that are doma to the miyat. Which Rashi slips in, which means only those that are lahaba. All right? Now we'll have to understand, how did Rashi slip in lahaba? All right?
Wasn't he just assuming the maskana of the Gemara of Chavav?
Yeah, well, I'm, when I ask the question, I'm asking a kashan Rashi. I mean, how does the Gemara do that?
Uh-huh.
How does it work? How do you just slip that in? How do you decide Labah? I mean, you also have Tov Hara, right?
I understand. I mean, the Gemara goes through that on Chavav.
What do you mean?
Doesn't it say it has to be like Nadarim?
No. What Rashi's saying is like this. You have a... When you have a ribuy and a miyut, what the result is a conceptual definition. That's basically a ribui and a miyut. Ribui says the topic. We're in this category called shvuos. And then the miyut says that it's what he called. The miyut then goes in and says and limits it that you're not chayev only for those things that are doma to the miyut. Which, of course, is a definition. That's a logical definition. Now, you extract the essence of the miyut, and that becomes your definition of what a shvua is. So that means, at that point, for whatever reasons, which is the question I'm asking, it only means lahaba. Since the Torah says lahara lahativ, it only means lahaba. And, however, it doesn't have to be literally tovara. Okay? Hold on 1 second, fellas. Hold on 1 second, okay? All right? Whatever that definition is, however you arrive at it, that's the question I'm asking. But it does mean a definition. That's when you have just the ribu and a miyat. All right? Is everybody with me?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, good. All right. Now Rashi slips away. He now discusses, he digresses, because he wants to contrast it at this point right away with Klala Prat. So he says, "V'lo the Darish Leib Mashmoz Klala Prat, the name of Ara LaHeitiv Perusho Shoklalu." He says, and it does not mean you're not Darish when you're doing Ribui Miyot. You're not doing it like Klala Prat, because what would Klala Prat say? The Prat would say that is not a logical definition. That is the only case. So it has to be Lahaba. And it has to be lahara lahaytiv. That is, it's an exact, that's what it is. That is what a shvua is. It's nothing else. It's that specific example. Don't start extracting an essence and applying it and include other cases. That's the only kind of case. That's it. Okay? That's what klal process. Okay? He says, right, so he says, the Lord of Darshleib Mashmoz Klal Prat, the name of Ara Lahaytiv, Perusha Klalu. The Ein Lechola Havibo Elahu Levado, Harav Hatava, Velo Sha'ar Devarim, Bafilu Abba, She'ino Harava Tava. Okay? Shekola Dori Shetora Klaw Prat. Islay Ein Bechlau Elamash Prat. That's it. That's it. That's the only case. That's it. It's an exact description of what the klal is. That's it. Synonymous. V'chi hadar, asi klala achrina basar prata ki hacha, t'chsiv basrei l'chol asher yivatei. Okay, and now, of course, that's klala prat. So what happens when you bring in the klal basra? What happens then? So now Rashi says, dailach, imposif al haprat, b'chlal achron, dvarim she'ein bahen harav atava, v'yiyu ke'ein haprat b'la'aba, v'lo l'sha'avar she'ein adoma l'prat klal. Okay? So now, when you have a klal haprat, so now you have a specific. So what does the second klal come and do? So from the second klal, now emerges the definition. Now you go ahead and you take a look at the prat, and you expand the prat by isolating what is really the essence, and then that becomes the definition of the category. That's what happens when you have a klal prat or klal, the definition emerges after the second klal. Now you look at the prat and you extract its essential elements, which is exactly that's the definition, and now you can expand. So then you end up with, it has to be what? It has to be lahaba, but it doesn't literally have to be ra and tov. But l'sha'avar is excluded. Okay? Because that's not part of the definition. All right? And that's exactly right. That's what Rashi says. Tvam she'ein ban arava tovav yu ke'ein aprat b'la'aba v'lo l'sha'avar she'ein adom l'aprat klal. Okay? It's not done to the prat at all. Okay? Now, what's the question, of course? What's the question you have to ask?
What do you need the first claw for? Well, I'm just saying it because that's the next thing Rashi's going to say.
Oh. Well, I wouldn't say you need the first. I don't think that's such a big kasha.
Right.
Because I would say, because that introduces the category.
Well, he also says, "V'lo l'sha'avar she'eino dome l'prat klal." I mean, it could be dome to it if it's ra or tov.
No. Ah. See, that's the very question I want to ask that question. How do you know? Let's deal with klal prat first. We'll go right here. How do you know which is the essential element? In other words, you have two factors here. You have either lahaba or l'sha'avar, and then you have ravatov and not ravatov. So how do you choose which is the essential element? How do you know that? And Rashi just does it, boom, right? Just says, this is what it is. But you see, the answer is, that's really Rabbi Yitzchak's question on Chavav. Rabbi Yitzchak's question on Chavav is Epoch Ana. Why don't you reverse it? Meaning, in logical terms, how did you decide to choose that this is the essence? Maybe that's the essence. Maybe Tovara is the essence. And maybe Lashavar is not outside of the essence. How did you decide to exclude Lashavar and keep the element of Lahaba and not worry about Tovara? How did you do that? And there's only one answer. And those are really the answers of Rabbi Yitzchak and Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Abin. The answer is, you can't know that from logic, but you have to demonstrate it from within the system. And that's exactly why he brings the proof, his idea from Bal Yachal. You see, Bal Yachel goes ahead and shows you that, at least according to Rabbi Shmuel, Bal Yachel tells you the framework in which Shmua has to exist. And it has to be, in other words, there are two categories. There are two categories. There are Shmuos that act as like Edus, meaning like they affirm something. They're like testimonial in nature. I don't mean, by the way, like Shmuos or Edus technically embedded. Okay, that's of course. But that's a different parasha, though. I'm talking about personal, Shmuos Bitui, personal Shmuos, okay? Made by an individual, okay? So you can have two types. I could say, you know, whatever, I swear that, you know, I went to the park yesterday. So that's an affirmation. It's a Shmuos where you confirm something, you affirm something. All right? It's Edus in nature. That's one kind of category. The other kind of category is where you make a shvua that demands a certain nihug of the gavra. That's another kind of shvua. And Rabbi Yitzchak says that Rabbi Shmuel is of the opinion that it has to be, in order to be defined as a shvua, it has to be subject to Bal Yachel, which means it has to be a shvua about a nihug. It has to be something that's, that you can be mekayim it. Like Rashi says, where is that Rashi in Chavav? Rashi says, lo yachal dvaro, lo mashma le betavar she'efshalo le kayem shvuaso, v'haino l'haba. Okay? But in a statement whose nature is affirmation, then it's just going to be subject to Baal Teshakru. Are you affirming something true or not? That's it. The minute you say it, that's it. It doesn't demand a nihug on the part of the gavra. So the answer is, how do you decide which is the essence of when you have the second klal? Now, how do you decide how to expand the prat? The answer is, you're going to need a raya from within the system. You're not going to be able to prove it logically because there's two possibilities. That's Rabbi Yitzchak. And Rashi, of course, is not dealing with, you know, he's dealing with conclusions. I mean, you're right what you said before. And Rashi's on maskanas already. I mean, that's it. So Rashi knows already what the elements are.
Would you say that for Rabbi Akiva also?
Then he says, right. Where are we? The lahachi ahani klal kama limaute. Vahainu de omer klal uprat uklal. Iyatadad elakein haprat. Okay? In other words, the first klal uprat act together. Klal uprat. So from that emerges a strict example, a specific thing. And you can't go beyond it. But now you have the second klal. Klomar, donata, lahosef ala prat, al yidei klal ha'acharon. There it's now, take that klal uprat, and now apply the appropriate halachic logic. Okay? I mean that because, you know, it's not pure logic in the sense that you're going to have to choose which is the essence. That's going to be determined by something within the system. Either another pasuk or proof from within the pasuk, like Rav Yitzchak Bar Abin does. Okay, whatever it may be. Okay? Aval I atadon lahosif alav ela hadom alav. But of course, you can't be mosif except that which you have a right that is logically similar. Meaning that you've extracted the basic essence, and now you've expanded it. That's klal uprat klal. That's how it works.
Is he saying like this as opposed to just a prat uklal, where you say it's everything?
You mean a klal uprat?
No, I'm saying, because he says, d'lahachi ahani klal kama l'mute, meaning the fact that you had a klal in the beginning makes it different. It's going to make it, in the result is going to be less than what you get out of a prat uklal.
Less than what you get.
Because if you do klal uprat uklal, you're just going to get things that are like the prat, but you're not going to get the whole category. If you do a prat uklal, then you get everything.
wasn't thinking, one second, prat or klal? You know.
Klal is just that you can't use any of the other midos on it. Because really it comes out to be the same thing. I mean, you could have just written the prat or the klal.
Oh, I see what you're saying. That's interesting. Right, let me look at it. Let me look at it. I'll probably appreciate that comment a little bit more later. Okay. The next thing. Aval adoresh beribo miet ain haprat perusha shalaklal ela mimato bemiktsas klomar lo es hakol riba beribui harishon ela zel chiyotzepo below ribui basra mishtamele zeh uchiyotzepo. Okay? In other words, it comes out that what Rashi's saying is in a ribui miyut, after already you have the ribui and the miyut, you've already accomplished what a klal, a prat, a klal does.
Right.
Namely, that after ribui and miyut, now you have a definition. Now you have a definition already. You have the ribui, and now there's a limit. Now the minute you put a limit on, now you can extrapolate a definition. This got limited, and these things didn't. Oh, so what's the definition? You see? That's in a ribui miyut. Alright? Good. Okay, hilkach. Ki osa ribui achrina basrei lirabos ba. Va'afilu shelo kein haprat. So therefore, when the last ribui comes, it must be going beyond the prat, or the kein haprat. Okay? It's going beyond the definition. Velomiyet hamiyut eladover echad haroi lahotzi minaklal hazeh yasir minakal. So it must be that the miyut is only coming to remove something that is most fitting, more than anything else, to get out of the klal. And I guess that's what everybody would like to know what that means. Like, what is that thing, and how do you decide what it is? Like, how does this work? First you had a definition. Now you're telling me the second reway comes, it goes beyond the definition. But it goes beyond the definition, but then it says, well, something's got to get dropped. So pick the thing that's most unlikely, you know, to be part of this category, and drop it. Right. How does that work? Okay? Okay. And then he just finishes it up, right? Rabbi Kiva Hachi Darish Per Gimel Lahai Kisi Shava Ve'inam Amayit Min Hamiyat Ela Nishba Levat Lesa Mitzvah. Okay? Right? Correct? So you have like this, according to Rabbi Akiva. First you have the Ribui, all Shavuos. Then you have the Miyat. So now the Miyat says what? The Miyat says it's Lehaba, but not Leshavar. And along comes the second Ribui, and says, no, even include Leshavar. But don't allow Mevatel Es HaMitzvah. Okay? That's essentially the Rashi.
The
Davashi Yeshu. Oh, I didn't let Mishana see a dual Adam. Yeah. I'll tell you what I was thinking. It's not completely worked out, but I think I got the basic idea. What you have is like this. See, it comes back again to the idea that you have to recognize that there are two categories of bitui. That is, one type is where you are machayiv yourself in a certain nihug. That's one type that a person can utter. And the second type is where he looks to affirm something. He looks to in his own life to testify about something. Okay? Again, not in bezdin, but in his own life. There are two kinds. L'sha'avar, and it's not really about past and future, essentially. There are two categories. right? Niyog, and then affirmation. So I think like this, that what you have is, in Ribui Miyut, so Rabbi Akiva's argument is, if you just have Ribui Miyut, so the Torah says, Lahara Lahetiv. So the Torah is really pointing out, and this is why he goes this way, Lahara Lahetiv is a shvua about Nihuk. It's really essentially about Nihuk. That's why it's put in the future tense. The Torah is really telling you it's Nihuk. So if you just had the Ribui Miyut, you would say that the category that is essential is that it has to be a Shvuah of Nihuk. Okay? And therefore, once you know that, then of course, I mean, Tov Ra is accidental. Once it's a Nihuk, once it's essentially Nihuk, I mean, Tov Ra is an accidental thing. So, but then along comes the second Ribui, and the second Ribui, by definition, has to extend it. So now when it extends it, it can only extend it in one way, essentially. And that is to include Lisha'avar, i.e., the other type of possible Bitui, which is affirmation. So the second Ribui now says that it doesn't have to be doma to the prat anymore, because you're not limiting it by saying that thing and extracting that essence. But really the second Ribui is coming along and saying there's a different underlying essence of which affirmation shvuas and niyog shvuas belong to. That's the second Ribui. You see? Now you'll say, so what's the miyut? Ah, the miyut is very good. the miyut is that it's going to be Tvar Mitzvah. Why? Or also, what do you call it? Mishana Davar Yadua. Why? Because that cannot be a Shvuah of Nihuk. Because since you're already Mushba V'Omed Mahar Sinai, so then it's in the halachic framework, that's not a possible Nihuk. It simply doesn't qualify. It's a davashi yasher, so you can never categorize it. It's just like trying to say something about something that doesn't exist. It's absurd. So therefore, that's why the miyut is going to be mayazat. That's Rabbi Akiva's idea. So according to Rabbi Akiva. Here's the part, I don't have a definition yet. But here, according to Rabbi Akiva, you have, in his world, it's like this. Well, I'll start easier. Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Shmuel's world is the definition of Shvuah. Shvuah's Bitui is a Shvuah about Nihuk. Affirmation Shvuahs do not belong to this category. They're removed. It has to be a Shvuah of Nihuk. Of any Nihuk. Tov, Ra, or neutral, like, you know, Ezra, you know, Tzror L'Yam. Whereas according to Rabbi Akiva's system, Shvuah embraces both Niyog as well as affirmation Shvuahs. You see? So it would be nice. That's the one part. I'd like to define that. I mean, Rabbi Akiva, what's the underlying essence there? But it comes out, so they have two different systems of Shvuah definitively. That's what emerges from the two.
What about Mishana Sayadu La Adam? Make it impossible for...
One second. That's good. You mean, according to Rabbi Akiva, there are two categories. There is the category of Shvuah Shel Nihug, and then the category of Shvuah of Affirmation. So being mevatel tvar mitzvah is not possible because it cannot qualify as a nihuk. And being mishanes yadua can't be because it's impossible to be a shvuah of affirmation. It's inherently absurd. So it can't be affirmed. That's what you mean, right?
Yeah.
That's good. That makes sense. That makes sense.
Can you explain, just, I don't know exactly how the idea of Libui and Mint, how that, as just a derivative of Joshua, fits in with this, I just don't see that.
How
are you saying Libui and Mint works in general, and then why does that force Rabbi Akiva to say this specific way? That it must be that the Mint is defining the category by Mint.
Because Rabbi Akiva is saying it like this, is that Mint by definition means a limit, right? So it means with the, therefore it comes out that the minute you have the Ribui and the Mi'ut, you already have your definition, right?
Right.
Now the question is, what is that definition? Right?
Right. So why would you pick the Lahaba over Tovara?
Oh, because if it's a limit, so then the Torah is telling you, limit it, that it has to be a future thing.
Why not say the other way? Limit it, that it has to be good and evil.
I believe, I'm not positive. It would seem to me, that it's mistaver to say, because Rabbi Akiva is operating, that there's two categories of Shua. There's no category of Tova Ra. It's categories. He already has, a priori, there's a certain idea of Shavuos, according to him. So you're saying that already it's either affirmation or it's Niyuk. So either Torah is pointing to one or the other when it limits. It's not limiting good and bad. That's not a category. That's what I'm thinking.
Oh, Ishmael doesn't have that equivalent?
I knew you could answer that.
I'm just like, because we asked Ifukan and Rabbi Ishmael.
I know. I hear what's bothering you.
I'm assuming that's the answer of Ifukan.
I'll tell you why. Because there's a difference in saying it's a limit as opposed to saying it's a prat. Because in a prat, you're not telling me a category. You're telling me it's this. You're not dealing with definitions here. In a prat, you're saying, here's what it is. It's this thing. You see, it has to be a nihug about Tova Ra. That's it.
Right.
Tova Ra is not a new definition. Tova Ra is like saying, it has to be a table, and for whatever reasons, it has to be blue also. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Blue is not a category. It's not a logical thing.
What about this, the second claw?
So.
Now a second claw comes.
Yes.
So now we say we'll expand it to the Asif. And then we ask the Ifuchan.
But one second. Just before, I'll let you ask that question. Hold on. So I just want to make that point. Let me just make sure I'm saying, I think it's clear. And then I'll see if you have a kash on it, okay? All right. So I'm saying like this. And that's when you're having a limit, so now a limit is producing a definition. So now, a priori, you could say, look, there are different categories of Shmua. There's this kind, there's this kind. Now, which one do I think the pasuk means? You see? So therefore, Tova Ra is not going to come into the calculation on that. But if you're saying it's a prat, then you're saying it's this specific example. God said, I want, a shvua, and it's about, and it has the accent of being tova ra. I want a table, and it has to be blue. That makes sense. If it's a prat, if it's a perusho. But not if it's a limit. A limit doesn't make sense. Because that's a definition. That's what I'm saying. God, now what's your kasha?
So what I'm talking about is that second claw.
What?
The second claw.
So now you have a perish. Now you have a specific example. But now the Torah comes back and gives you a second claw. So now it says, no, you have to expand. Now how you can expand? There's only one way to expand. You need to get down to the essence and expand it. How do you know what the essence is? Oh, very good. I'll tell you how you know the essence is. You know it based on the system. Lo yachel.
That's what I'm asking. You're saying for Rabbi Akiva's system of Ribui and Mi'ut, you could know what the category would be a priori. But with Rabbi Yishmael, you could not say Ekuyoli. I know this is a category, not that is a category. That's
his father. That's his father. That's a good question. Yes. Oh, good. I hear your questions now. I mean, why could Rabbi Yitzchak say Epoch Ana? Why did the Gemara just say to him, what do you mean Epoch Ana? Are you going to tell me it's going to be about Tova Ra? I mean, that's what you mean.
Yeah.
That's a good question. It's like this. And tell me if you think this makes sense. Since we're dealing with a prat, so the prat has, not that it has really two essences, like we said originally when we first started this Gemara. Really, there's an essence, and then there's a prat. I mean, not a prat. And then there's Tova Ra. Tova Ra is not an essential category in the Dara, right? Correct? Mm-hmm. Somebody say correct.
Correct.
Thanks. So, now when the klal comes, the question is, maybe the character, this accident of Tova Ra, maybe that is the intent of the Torah. It wants Tova Ra. It has to be about limited to Tova Ra. It has to be that kind of a personal thing. You see? And therefore, maybe what the Torah is really saying is, with the klal, that you should include the shvuos of nihug and also shvuos of affirmation. As long as they also have this character of Tova Ra. But not that Tova Ra is a category of a categorical type of shvua. There's really two kinds of shvuas, affirmations and this. That's what you're swearing to. And there's the swear, the nature of an oath is not about things that are Tova Ra. Their nature is either their affirmations or they obligate you in a nihug. So maybe the Torah, for whatever reason, wants to retain this character of Tova Ra, and really, the Torah is really telling you to embrace two different categories of Shmua. That's Rabbi Yitzchak's question. Maybe Epachana. Not that he's asking, maybe take this essence, not that essence. But maybe you should retain that characteristic. How do you know? And then logically, it will be two categories will be included.
And how does that make a klal?
So what's
how,
it?
That would logically work with the way we explain klal earlier.
It would or wouldn't?
I don't see how that fits in with the klal of fuzzle klal. The idea of klal of fuzzle klal seems to be a definition, you would say. So how are you now, are you saying klal of fuzzle klal differently now?
One second. So So the answer is, from Bal Yachel, you know by definition. I hear you asking. Let me. You have a ribui miut, so at that point you have a certain definition. Okay. And then the second ribui says to reject that definition. And now search for a new underlying definition, of which the old definition now becomes a piece of it. You know what I mean? It becomes a species within a logic. That's what it's really doing. I guess if you want to put it logically, it's like this. Originally, Ribi Miut, so then you have a definition. Now that definition now becomes a species of a greater definition. That's what I'm saying. To exclude something.
But just the ribui, just one ribui by itself would mean everything.
Yes.
So there are three levels. There's the everything, then there's a one level of definition, then a more universal level of definition, then there's like a three level system.
If that's what you're saying.
What?
You're too complicated for me. But you're right. It sounds like you're right.
Logically, like we're taking from the greatest, then we're limiting it to a small definition, we're enlarging it to a greater definition, but still within the original.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not within the original definition. It's that the final definition includes the second definition as part of it.
That's right. I mean, it retains it in a certain way. I mean, it really becomes a new definition. It's not like it's like a compound, you know?
Right.
You're not going to see it anymore.
Right, but that second definition now is kind of subsumed under the...
Right. I don't mean like it's all of a sudden you take the old definition, stick another one on. I don't mean that, of course.
Right.
I mean that whatever you had there is retained, but now it's a new idea, new underlying essence.
Got it.
That's what I mean. I got to think about it. Let me think about that copy, Yaakov, your question with Rabbi Yitzchak, how that works. You mean the Klal Prior? I got to think about it. Do it, and then we'll, from there, the Tosfos will be very easy, I think. Really easy.
Okay.
I hope so, though. I never know what you guys.
Do you want us to explain the Klal Prat thing?
Oh, Prat and Klal. I'm not making promises. I'm going to try to look at it, though. I really want to look at it.
No, on
the Gemara, how we got into the whole thing at the beginning.
Oh, this case. I haven't even gone back to that one. Okay. That's why you guys are more, as they say, you know, yeshivas talk, more orangutan than I am in that one. What
plenty.
Else? What else?
We got plenty to do.
Yeah, think about that. Think about it. See if you can work it out. I don't know.
We'll try and move to Saturday nights, too. I'll try and work on these guys.
You work on it.